welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. This is our 21st episode of season 2 for the episode
City of Blood.
Thank you. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin.
And we are thoroughly and completely underwhelmed by this episode.
They added an extra episode this season. This was the episode that they kind of went, let's do an episode that sort of sets stuff up for next season, and it doesn't really
do it. I think, and I'm basing this on quite a lot of extra information from things Stephen Amell has said and the producers have said. I think what they're doing is getting the story out of the way so that the next two episodes can just be things blowing up, people punching people, and twists and plot stuff. So,
I feel like you needed to watch this episode and the next two in succession. Like, I don't think you can wait a week.
Succession. Succession is a different
succession.
It definitely reads as the first act of a movie.
Yeah.
Right? And not an episode unto itself, which is always a difficult thing. It's actually very familiar territory for me because Clone Wars got into this model of doing 3 and 4 episode arcs later on in the series. And what we would get is we usually get the first episode of a 4-episode arc would be really cool because you'd be coming off of a previous adventure, like they'd be finishing up a mission, blowing stuff up, having fun, and then something would happen that would set the stage for what's going to happen over the course of the arc. And then the second episode would be them, like, exploring the plot.
Right.
And then the third and fourth episode would be them blowing stuff up and using lightsabers and stuff. So I'm very used to this sort of three, four-part arc sort of thing. So it's kind of what's happened, because last week was definitely, like,
this big,
like, look at all
epic.
This crazy stuff, like, ending with this, like, world-changing twist.
Yeah.
And then coming into this episode, it's like, what are the ramifications of that? Mm-hmm. Well, apparently the ramifications of that are a very sad Oliver.
Yeah.
Right? Which, when he is your hero, because everybody else has kind of left town or gone into a coma, you're just kind of left there going, Oliver, can you do something,
so
please?
So here's my association that I'm going to ruin this episode for anybody that goes back and watches again that's a child of the 90s. All I saw through this episode was Dawson from Dawson's Creek. I feel like that's who he was playing. But the scene with Thea could have taken place in the show Dawson's Creek. It was so, and he had a James Van Der Beek-y like essence to him.
I liked that scene. I don't know why you're.
I don't know because the way he talked, it sounded like James Van Der Beek.
Oh yeah, I never watched Dawson's Creek, so I have no frame of reference for that.
So it's an interesting association.
I think. It kind of bugs me because some people will really nail this show hard when it does do a dramatic scene because it's on the CW. So they'll go immediately to like, oh, CW drama. No, shows are allowed to have dramatic moments regardless of what network they're on and regardless of their main audience. So I really do think that they earned it on this one. I do think that where he is a very logical place for him to be.
Yeah.
It just makes for a very slow plotting episode. Yeah. But at the same time, if he just sort of came off of last week like, I'm really sad, and then let's go fight Slade, right?
Like it would have been
he had to work through it. He had to figure it out. Yeah. Maybe they could have done it differently. Maybe they could have done it in a more active way. But I do think that they earned him being morose, right?
And like I think it's the thing that definitely for me was set up in this episode is all the stuff that's coming in season 3, right? Like we have a new locations. We have
you mean the Quiver? If they don't call it the Quiver,
we're gonna protest.
Yeah,
we should write a petition.
Yeah,
call the new base the Quiver. The Foundry was a stupid name. Quiver's better.
I feel like you're a little bit biased. I feel like you're taking a lot of emotions into that statement. It was called the Foundry because it was a foundry, that was the location.
Whatever.
But yeah.
Anyways, I want to know where this new location is, if it's something interesting up top. Anyways, yeah. They're leaving that as a mystery for set decks for next year. But, and then we've got characters that are going away. We've got interesting stuff happening. Anyways, I don't want to jump ahead by too much. But I just think, you're right, it's very plotty. It's a very plotty episode.
Yeah.
I don't know, can we just talk about, let's get into it? Because,
before we do that, let's just read this email, and we'll talk a little bit more about last week's episode.
Okay.
Greetings, Arrowheads. I can't even process all of the events in the latest episode. Last week's episode. Moira, dead. Roy, cop killer. Ollie, jilted, temporarily outed, and a secret dad. Sarah, Audi 5000 back to Nyssa. And Slade, still crazier than a bedbug. I'm not familiar with the phrase, but that's okay. So I hope that Ollie runs into his secret son on a Flash/Arrow crossover, perhaps named Connor. Who knows, maybe Malcolm will recruit him to be a new Tommy. Also, I hope that Caitlin Snow at Star Labs ends up secretly being Caitlin Fairchild from Gen 13/Wildstorm/Superboy. The actress does have reddish hair, so now all she needs is wirework training for some super strength fighting. Stay sharp, Arrowheads. And later, Adrian from California. So, I'm going to go in reverse order here. Caitlin Snow. Caitlin Snow is actually, in the comic books, a character called Killer Frost.
Huh.
So, she's actually a supervillain, but in the New 52, her character has been altered. So, what we're seeing on The Flash, or in Arrow so far, is more akin to her New 52 persona. Although, in the New 52, she does end up becoming Killer Frost and becoming a supervillain. So, maybe that's something that they're setting her up for. Maybe that's something that sort of fan anticipation that they're going to play with and play against.
Yeah, in The Flash. So, yeah. That's good.
Because Killer Frost, never really a focal point to any stories. Just kind of one of those almost freak of the week supervillains that comes in when you can't use Captain Cold or Mr. Freeze or... I mean, there are many. There are dozens of cold-based villains. So, Killer Frost just being one of them. So, I think that Caitlin Snow is just... them taking a character that exists a lot like they have with Felicity Smoke, who's actually part of Starfire. I can't remember the character's name right now. She's part of another superheroes comic. She's like a mainstay in that, a supporting character in another comic. So they've really changed her for this, but they've kept a lot of things similar. Actually, one of the references from tonight's episode, I believe, is related to her origins in the comics.
Cool.
So I think that they're going in a different direction.
Yeah.
I don't think that she'll be Caitlin Fairchild, because that would be a very, very different way to go. Because that's a completely other character. And her personality hasn't reflected anything that I would associate with Caitlin Fairchild. And I'm not even like a huge Gen 13 fan. So there are probably people out there who are better versed in Gen 13 than I am that could say, no, that's not really her character. Because she does feel a lot like the Felicity of...
The Flash series,
especially when they were on screen together and they kind of had that little kind of clashy moment.
Yeah.
It felt very much like I've been replaced sort of thing. Like, and I think they did that on purpose to let us know if you love Felicity on Arrow, watch The Flash, because we got our own Felicity.
Yeah.
So I think that what they'll do with that character will be very similar.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to watch that series. I'm actually really excited for that. It's
kind of
the one good thing about having this big summer break is that when we come back, we're going to have Arrow and Flash.
And Flash, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Now let's jump. The Malcolm recruiting Connor to be Tommy. I don't think that's going to happen. What do we think is going
to
happen?
Thea is primed to be taken by Malcolm in the upcoming episodes, because she just, this, the end of this episode was her totally just breaking ties and needing something else.
Yeah.
As people were pointing out from, I think it was last week's episode, that they tried to, after last week's episode, people were going back and pointing out those archery trophies in her room.
Yeah.
That we are supposed to be reminded that she has potential, right?
Yeah.
To be something. And something that someone pointed out on Twitter, at least tweeted at me, was a thing about Laurel Lance that the writers have constantly said that she is going to be what she is supposed to be, right? Like, this idea that we're moving
Black Canary,
her, that she's going to be Black Canary. That is a thing that they don't say that, but they say that we specifically have a plan for her. And I got lost in that this season with all these other things. And I think that this episode, if it did nothing else, set up some characters in a direction that they, in the pilot, I think, were meant to go. And now we've gotten 2 years in, and I think that they're starting to plant more and more seeds to make them on an active path to becoming what they originally were supposed to be. I think
there's some credibility to that. I do also think that producers say a lot of things to put us on certain paths.
Yeah.
And then they pull the rug out from under you a season or two later. So I don't know. One of my favorite things that I've seen from the Arrowheads from the fan community is that fan art that has Sarah in her Black Canary outfit as Black Canary, and then Laurel in a similar outfit, but instead of it being black leather, it's white.
Oh,
and she's
cool.
The White Canary, and that both of them exist. Oh. And for me, because Sarah doesn't exist in the comics, because they've changed that relationship so much just by the nature of her being there, I think that they have a really cool opportunity to not to meet our expectations, but to exceed it and to do something different that can be better than the source material. And I do think, like, having them be like a sister crime fighting duo,
yeah, it'd be cool,
would be awesome. And it adds another awesome, I mean, not another, because Laurel is kind of already Black Canary, but it, by virtue of Sarah also being there, we get another female superhero added to the DC staple,
because
as we've seen with Diggle, and as we saw with Chloe in Smallville, when these characters are awesome, they get added into the comics universe. Because when fans connect, you go, well, why would we not use that in the comics, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it would be silly for them to not explore that, at least. To like, look at it and go, what can we do? And it doesn't necessarily have to be Sarah staying as Black Canary, because she's never been called Black Canary. We talked about this when we were watching the episode tonight. Because there was nothing to actually talk about when watching the episode. So we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
But she's never been called Black Canary. She's been called Canary.
Yeah.
Right? So there is an opportunity for Laurel to become Black Canary.
Yeah.
And then for Sarah to come back at some point and be something else.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe White Canary is cool. Like, I like that idea. I also just like the idea of her coming back and having a different identity and being something else. So, where, yes, the producers have said
certain things,
that's going to happen. They've said a lot of things, like, oh, we're going to do this, and then we get to that point, and it's like, well, they kind of did that, but, you know, because they've talked a lot about how, because we can talk about Moira now, how she is not present in the comics.
Yeah.
And they talked a lot about how, like, oh, well, we wanted to switch up the dynamic, and Moira's going to be around for a while, and all of that sort of stuff. And then they do the whole thing with her running for mayor, which is a Oliver Queen storyline. So there were a lot of people going, like, oh, is she going to die, and then Oliver is going to have to become mayor or something like that? Like, are they going to do something with that? And, they sort of skirted around it and went, like, oh, no, Moira's going to be around for a while. Like, you don't have to worry about
Moira.
And then what did they do? They just straight up misdirected. I don't want to say that they lied, because there are some producers who lie and say that Khan is not in a Star Trek movie when Khan is, in fact, in a Star Trek movie, the director, producer.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I think it's fair for a producer to misdirect and to give half-truths and say, like,
half-truths.
You're going to have to wait and see how things play out. It might not go the way you're thinking, right? Like, that's kind of a common producer double talk.
It's true. So be awesome. Yeah, so last week brought a lot of questions, and then this week I think set up a lot of stuff, and we're going to see where it goes.
And Susanna Thompson, another email that we got, somebody pointed out a news article to me that Susanna Thompson, who plays Moira, had said in an interview she referred to Oliver's baby mama as Sandra.
Oh.
Which is the character from the comic Sandra.
So it is, so they did. Yeah, I think that it's very clear, at least upon further inspection or people talking.
It is 99.9% that is
Connor.
Connor Hawke.
Yeah.
She had a baby that he doesn't know about, and 10 years from now, that's going to be really important, right? So it is something, and we I think we speculated on
this. We always speculate on this, but people, I think, talk about this stuff, and they're like, what's going to happen after 5 years? And people are saying the show is going to end. You're not listening to Mike and Amanda's predictions, you guys.
Yeah.
They're not just going to end the show after 5 years because they say that they have a contract, like, Supernatural, where they say that the show is written for 5 seasons, right? If they have the ability to go beyond that, they're going to. And I think the writers are smart enough that they can write for 5 seasons and then completely rewrite the show to keep going in a really interesting
Supernatural
way.
Supernatural did end after 5 years.
It did.
The next 5 years are just the expanded universe. It's just that there's no other expanded. It's like it's like how Buffy now has the comics that keep going.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, they're official canon. Well, Supernatural, they're just continuing to make the show.
Yeah.
And it's official canon, that's what happens. But the story that Eric Kripke wanted to tell was five seasons long, and after those 5 seasons, he left and went off to make bad shows.
But so with Arrow, our big thing is that we think that there's five, and what the writers have said, someone said this, that him getting off the island, the first scene of Arrow will be the last scene of Arrow, is what people have said a lot. Like, that him getting off the island with that arrow will be the last sort of scene of the, and it'll be 5-year arc, right?
Yeah.
I think, yes, the writers have that planned, but what you've said before, Mike, is that he'll probably die after 5 seasons, and then we'll jump. Season 6 will actually be season 10, and we'll have flashbacks to the 5 seasons preview that we jump, and I think that would be such a cool way, and it's also them not lying about it. Anyways, I just want to reiterate that theory as much as possible because I think that's really it's my headcanon now.
If that's not what they're planning to do, but you know, any of the Arrow writers hear this and want to pitch it to the showrunners, you can have it. You can have that, okay? I mean, if you want to bring me onto the writing staff, I'd love to. I have no experience writing, but I can sit in a room and make
up
stories.
And critique other people's, like...
Well, and just come up with what they should do next, and then somebody else can go actually write the dialogue. But, at this point, because we've talked about it, I think this is like the 4th or 5th time we've talked about it on the podcast. If they don't do that at the end of 5 seasons, I'm going to be really upset. Because I want them to get 5 seasons in, him get off the island, die dramatically, and then literally the last scene of that season finale is, like, fade to black after Oliver dies, or, like, at his funeral or whatever. And, like, Felicity's all sad and Laurel is like, I'm going to get them and whatever. And Superman's there and Batman's standing in the corner. Just however they want to do it. Fades to black. And then the letters, like, in that Arrow font come up 5 years later or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's... And, like, Oliver is standing there with, like, with the mustache and goatee. Like, in like, straight-up Green Arrow
and he becomes
gear.
Green Arrow.
Okay. And he just, like, shoots out an arrow and zip lines away. And that's the end of the season. Like, that's it. And you're just like, what? And then season 6 is them starting on the flashback of, like, the day after he died.
Yeah,
and the flashbacks have no Oliver in them for, like, the first year.
Yeah, which is
right?
Beautiful. Yeah.
And, like, they go through, like Laurel and everybody grieving for dead Oliver. And then the end of that season is, like, he comes back from the dead or whatever. Because that's what happens in the comics. Like, he died,
cool.
And everybody's really sad, and Black Canary went and punched a whole bunch of people because of it. And then eventually he comes back because it's comic books and everybody comes back if they wear a costume. Moira's not coming back, guys. Let's be really clear. Nobody's throwing her in a Lazarus pit.
Yeah. I don't know why you'd want to. She's served her purpose as a character. Just like Tommy... Yeah. He came back as, like, a premonition, as a ghost, right? Like, that's a cool
way. Maybe Susanna Thompson will be back in flashbacks. Yeah. There's a great opportunity that this show gives for actors to return for guest spots. Cool.
Yeah,
But I don't think that Moira will be back.
Yeah. Cool. So thanks, Adrian, for that email. Good things to think about from last week and getting us thinking about this week a little bit more. And thinking ahead to the season finale, actually, a lot. And me and Mike have been having conversations about what we're going to do for that.
Yep.
And we know we've got two more episodes. So next week, just going to be a regular Quiver episode. But for the finale, we were thinking of maybe doing something special. If people are interested, we might actually do a Google Hangout / live stream for us watching the season finale while we're recording. So we would watch it normally how we normally do. But then when we were recording Quiver, because we're going to watch it a second time anyways, and we're going to talk about it. So we might actually just do a live stream of that. And we will keep people updated on our social media if we're going to wind up doing that. And it would probably be the thing we're deciding on right now is whether or not we would live stream during the West Coast feed or right after the West Coast feed.
Yeah.
So it either would be at 8 o'clock or at 9 o'clock.
And there's a couple of different ways that we can stream, right? Mm-hmm. So we could do YouTube, at which point you guys would be able to see us, I guess.
Yeah.
You would be able to see us sitting on couches.
Yeah.
Watching the show, which is not terribly exciting.
It's not, but it's the commentary and having the hangout
window. We could do that, or we can just do audio, because we can also just stream to Mixlr. And just do an audio stream. So if you guys want to watch us, like they are an equal amount of setup because we're going to put a laptop on the table and point it at us.
Yeah, it's so, easy. I'm a fan of YouTube because I'm a fan of comments and Google Hangouts and being able to communicate with people.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just watched Ichi Kimchi did a live stream of a Korean drama on Black Monday or whatever, and it was really interesting. Okay. So I'm it's more like community, it's being able to talk to people.
What is Black Monday? Does it have to do with Golden Week?
No, it has to do with Korean culture, and it's because
Golden Week is the thing that happens in Japan specifically. I don't know if it happens anywhere else in Asia.
What is it?
It's I'm not actually entirely sure. I just know that there's a whole bunch of games on the PlayStation Store that are on ridiculous sale because it's Golden Week.
Oh, cool.
Over this next week or 2 weeks or something like that. So I didn't know, maybe Black Monday is the Monday before Golden Week something.
No, it's related to Valentine's Day. So you have the 14th of February is Valentine's Day, I think, where girls give guys chocolate.
Yeah.
And then the 14th of March is where guys will then give girls. I don't know what the 14th of March is really, but I know that it's sort of an opposite gendered thing.
Yeah.
And then what Black Monday, it's the 14th. Sorry, it's the 14th of April, right? Is for single people. You go out and you eat black beans something noodles, I think is what it is. And it's a thing where single people then have a day. It's a cool spin-off from Valentine's Day. Anyways, so what they did was...
It all sounds very depressing to me, but...
But it was... I don't know. Anyways, Ichi Kimchi did a cool thing and I was watching them stream and found a really awesome streaming set for Korean drama. Anyways, so talking about Google Hangouts, I think there's
yeah. So let us know. Maybe I'll make a post in the Facebook group, and you guys can give us your feedback. Let us know how you would like to interact. Because even if we're streaming, we can do something with hashtags on Twitter.
Yeah, and be able to comment on what people are doing.
The Facebook group, of course.
And the big thing, because East Coast people, either way, it's going to be after your feed, but it's mostly West Coast people. Do you think it would be more interesting to have people watch along with you and comment as you're watching the episode, or to be able to watch it once by yourself and then to be able to interact and actually comment with people?
Yeah.
And the problem with that is that then East Coast people, I think it's midnight by the time it's 9 p.m. here. So it just really depends on all these different time zones and how we're going to deal with that stuff. But it'd be cool to do something to at least hang out with you guys, and we've been talking about Google Hangouts for a really long time, and we just have never really gotten around to doing it, and I think it doesn't require any extra effort for us to come in and podcast or anything like that, so we might just do a
somewhat does. I've done Google Hangouts for Frontlines, And but that was a matter of doing a Google Hangout for the purpose of of getting other people from other locations.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a little bit different here, where it's going to be just the one location that I stream from. So yeah, it's up to the listeners, right? Because we're up for whatever you guys want.
Yeah.
Just let us know how you would like to interact.
Cool.
Cool.
Quiver community.
Cool.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's
jump into the episode and see if there. Maybe we'll see some stuff on the second time around. We usually do.
Yeah, we usually do. Okay, otherwise, so I'm
hitting play now. We're just on the previously on. Once again, I'm Oliver Queen, and I was on an island, and now I've got to be something different.
Yeah.
That's my incredibly short version.
And now I've got to do something
different. We're just getting, like, remember how last week was ridiculous? Yeah.
Yes, we do.
It really condensed of, like, Roy was punching everybody, so we shot him with some pit viper venom. Yeah. And then Slade killed Moira.
There was an interesting conversation thing about Moira's death, and there was so much conversation as to whether or not to shoot her and to stab her, apparently. And it's just an interesting thing. You don't really think about that there's so much thought goes into how that happens, which is interesting. I liked this juxtaposition in the beginning with the funeral and then the swearing-in ceremony. I think it's sort of an interesting... It was the most interesting and dynamic thing that happened in the episode, and it happened within the first two minutes.
The song's a little on the nose, if you ask me, because the lyrics to the song are something about not being there.
Right.
We're not seeing that they're not... playing the lyrics, or they're not displaying the lyrics, as far as I can tell.
Closed caption.
On the closed caption. I think it may have just said music playing or something.
Yeah.
It's just
dialogue.
Yeah.
But it's a.
I guess the sad song playing over the scene is not helpful.
I guess
to hearing impaired.
Yeah.
Viewers. So it's like, we'll just
skip. Dude, I was just watching a bunch of stuff that would translate the songs, and it would really bother me because then it would miss a translation of someone talking during the song, and I was like, I don't care what the song says.
I think that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
Is that it's much more important that we get
We are off to a killer start. Let's talk about the subtitles in Arrow versus what's actually
the subtitles. The subtitles on this show are a very important part of our podcast.
That is true, actually.
Indistinct chatter was a caption that just came up.
Specific thing, that's true.
If you don't watch Arrow with the captions at least once, I think you're missing out.
Yeah, because it's true.
Most of the time, that's where we catch stuff. We're like, oh, that was that guy's name.
Yeah, which is good.
I'm just going to eat another one of my M&Ms that the Mars Candy Company sent me because I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah, it's good.
For free.
They're cool Star Wars M&Ms. Yeah. I actually like them.
See, we got lots to talk about this episode. Nothing to do with the actual episode of Arrow. But Sebastian Blood shows up to the...
Yeah.
I guess this is like the wake?
The reception. They said reception, said. Yeah. But it's... Clears throat. I love that was subtitled.
That's important because it's awkward. Yeah,
okay.
That's
good.
But he's showing up and Thea is kind of... He said when he showed up, he asked where Oliver was. And Thea was like, I don't know, if you see him, tell him that he's a big dumb guy, and walked away. And so then Sebastian had a conversation with Laurel, who she's feeling a little hinky about him.
Something in her stomach, which is interesting. Or her gut, right?
Her stomach.
Her gut. Felicity, without fail, gets the best lines.
Yeah.
This was an interesting scene between her and Diggle, and also, you know, the filigree going on, which is nice.
I like that they didn't ignore that Felicity and Moira always had a bit of a tenuous relationship.
Yeah, which is great.
Because Moira was kind of like, who are you exactly? Much more interesting now that we know that this entire season, Moira has known that Oliver was the Arrow.
Yeah.
So she knows that Felicity has something to do with that, right? Like, obviously, all of a sudden, Felicity's your personal assistant. She used to be IT. So that whole scene from earlier this season where they had that little conflict, so much more layered now because the subtext is, I know who you are. I know what you're doing.
Interesting.
As opposed to before, where it was like, maybe she was like insinuating that like his girl on the side or something like that.
But now, we should rewatch. I would be interested to rewatch the season. Anyways, and then we had Rochev come back. And,
yes.
And then...
be all intimidating and scary.
And then Walter. I love Walter. And I love... can I just say how great it is that he did not get killed off? And I remember that being the first... I have, what, 5 episodes you can go back and listen to us talking about Quiver and about Arrow. We thought he was going to die within a few episodes. And he's just stuck around and has become a really great rock and foundation.
I really hope that with Moira gone... And I don't believe that Rochev's going to last the rest of the season. And at least maybe she won't die, but she's not going to be back next season.
I think they'll figure out something else.
I'm really hoping that they're going to move Walter into a position where he is essentially running Queen Consolidated for Oliver.
Right.
Kind of like that, like Lucius Fox sort of thing in the Batman movies,
yeah,
right?
That'd be cool.
And that he can just be this character that's kind of around.
Yeah,
and can take care of the business side of stuff.
Yeah,
But Walter and Thea just had a decent exchange about Moira and about Oliver and that sort of thing. Thea's pretty pissed.
Yeah,
at Oliver for not being around right now.
Yeah, she's wanting to leave. And now we're our first flashback. So this one dude in the sweater. That's the only one that we don't really know.
The guy in the gray sweater. His name's Peter.
Yeah.
Now. Now that we know that his name's Peter, they might have said it last week, or I guess it was 2 weeks ago, because last week was Seeing Red, which was different flashbacks.
Yeah.
But was the guy with the mouse on
the
boat?
I think he was Peter as well. I feel like that he could be.
So
the
I
guy
think that it's the same guy. I think he just doesn't have his glasses on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He lost his glasses. So maybe he was important, and that's why he's just this guy, because he's not a super big. People were trying to figure out who he was from the series, and he wasn't ever this huge thing. But yeah, it could be interesting. It would be if it was him.
So they're on the submarine, the Japanese submarine where they found the Mirakuru, in the hopes that they can get it running, take Slade out, and then escape the island.
Yes,
which
would be awesome.
Yeah, and Anatoly, member of the Russian Navy. Hopefully knows how to operate a Japanese sub. Different things, you guys.
Yeah. So I kind of like that there's that thing, but it doesn't stop them from actually, fixing it. I don't know.
I don't know that they really fix anything. I think they just get it running.
Yeah, I guess so.
Now, Laurel has shown up to the police department to find her dad, she's bringing up some stuff from the past.
Yeah, and that's the thing
she's on to Sebastian Blood now.
Mm-hmm. And this is good
again.
That her dad is listening to her this time. And I think I like that they don't gloss over other stuff, right? That we just left it for a little while, I guess, is what happened, right?
Yeah.
And that she's fair in acknowledging what happened in the past and how that's not.
To be fair, if the timeline of the show matches our timeline now, it has been a couple of months since that happened.
Yeah.
So if she has been consistent with her program and stuff, she hasn't slipped, then she would be gaining back trust of other characters by this point.
Yeah.
Maybe not as quickly as we saw her in like those first couple episodes afterwards, but by now I think that's a credible thing for her to be going to her father and saying, "Look, I'm better now. I'm not drunk. But this feeling won't go away. Mm-hmm. I still think there's something up." And then we get I don't know. Other than, I guess, the foreshadowing that Blood is not... he's not as in control as he would like to be. But other than that, it feels like this scene is very throwaway. Slade, not actually in this episode.
Yeah, he's not.
This is his only... he's not on the island.
Yeah, it's just his voice.
Just his voice in this phone call.
Which is interesting.
But Blood not looking particularly confident about the scenario that he's got himself in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Slade obviously has other plans for the city. And just checking in, Roy still passed out on a metal slab. Man, his back is going to be sore when he wakes up. I don't care how much Mirakuru he's got right now. That's just a completely flat table.
Yeah. It's... aw.
They need to get a more ergonomic. They got like a little pillow under his head
to work.
Yeah. And they Felicity and Diggle don't know where Oliver is. They haven't been able to find him. So they've been trying all of their facial recognition, blah blah blah. Just all the just all the gobbledygook that they say every time they're looking for somebody on a show like this.
Yeah.
And they can't find him. Which I mean, last week we got a mention that like his hood, or I guess it was Roy's hood, that like that a hoodie just it really does a very good job of obstructing.
So
like all he's got to do is wear his hood, apparently.
Yeah,
he's
wearing a hood and a mask. He can be not seen, which is.
Yeah, but we'll find out in a little bit exactly where he is.
So, I guess, yeah, there's not a lot. Ollie doesn't show up until halfway through this episode, I think.
Yeah.
In present timeline, at least. Which is good. What is this the airport? Is that where they're making Argus?
I have no idea what that location was.
But we have, so Argus come back. People were talking about Suicide Squad coming back near the end of the series or season a little bit. So Felicity hasn't interacted with Amanda before, right?
I think she has.
Okay.
Maybe not quite on this like one-to-one, but I think they've been in the same room together. And that now we're just going through a commercial break. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they've been on screen at the same time. Maybe they haven't interacted previous to today.
Right.
To tonight's episode. Oh, man. Sorry, there was just a commercial about that Marvel Stadium show.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Which reminded me that Disney just announced today Disney Infinity 2, which is Marvel Superheroes. Oh. So it's a video game.
Cool.
This is not the right show. A video game with Marvel Superheroes that you can cross over with your Disney characters and stuff.
Cool.
I'm really excited about.
Cool.
Where's your crossover exciting game, DC? Come on, kid.
They are working on 9 movies, didn't you hear? They've got things to do.
Yeah.
Let's
9 movies, not a single one of which is a Wonder Woman standalone movie, which is just, it makes me irate.
It's upsetting.
Not, like, and that has nothing to do with any sort of, like egalitarian agenda or anything like that. Like, it has nothing to do with gender equality. It just has to do with the fact that Wonder Woman is an awesome character and deserves her own movie.
Yeah.
Like, that, it just, it's the Trinity. It's Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. How can you have 9 movies in a slate and not have Wonder Woman as one of them?
Yeah.
Anyways, Amanda Waller knows where Oliver is at his site B.
Which is very interesting and useful considering that Rochev just came in
and kicked them out of their other house.
Which
she knows, like, because if she's working for Slade, then she knows that the foundry is underneath, and that's where all of their stuff is. So.
Yeah.
Although I think they go back there later in the episode, right?
Yeah, so, they're there because she's giving them a couple days, right?
Yeah, but so. Isabel kicking Thea out of the out of Verdant,
sort of her last thing. Thea's last thread.
I think that was all that was, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the most important part. I think that them having to find another foundry
is
just a side effect.
Yeah. This is about
of
breaking
having,
Thea down. Yeah, which is so
They have to cut all of her ties, like, which is why, one of the reasons why I think they've removed Roy from things.
Yeah.
They've just kind of boiled everything down to a much simpler place so that they can just get rid of Thea in the sense that she can go off with Malcolm in the next episode. To go
be, which you don't know, we're predicting.
To go be Speedy. Yeah, that is completely
speculation.
But I think it's pretty founded speculation.
Very founded speculation. But it's so here Laurel has come to Bug with a very conspicuous bug, we might add. Bug Blood's office.
Yeah. I don't know why in comic books and like TV shows and stuff, bugs always blink red.
Yeah.
It's like it's supposed to be a secret, you guys.
Yeah,
Like make it look like a rock or
something.
Right?
Something that fits. fits and is not conspicuous.
It's an interesting bug, though, because it's not an audio bug. It's actually, like, connecting computer, to the computer.
Yeah, which is
somehow.
Weird, actually. I thought it was totally an audio bug, but...
Yeah.
Look at all this tech that they're using. And I love this tech guy came back, give a little bit of weight to a character,
yeah.
Which is cool. I like the thing.
Remember him from season one? He was constantly helping Detective Lance try and find the arrow, right?
Yeah.
The vigilante back
then. Yeah. So it's cool that they reuse people. I don't know. I've always thought about the show.
Yeah, they reuse them so that they can just
kill him. But
later.
It's not just a random dude. That
no,
dies,
yeah, it did
cool,
mean something.
Right?
It was a moment.
Something. It's not like a ton of stuff, but it's not super.
So here's kind of, this is one of the more interesting developments in the episode. The press release about Moira's death that Laurel somehow very quickly notices, but doesn't point that out first
yeah,
that it's dated the day before.
Yeah, Moira died, which just seems like a stupid thing
to
spend time working on.
But it's not, just to be really clear, it's not written on there. It's the timestamp on the file.
Yeah.
So it's like, because when you make a file, there's a timestamp that gets put on it that says file created such and such a date.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So that's what they were looking at.
Yeah.
Which normally you would see on Windows and like...
docs, yeah.
Yeah. But they can't do that because they can't show Windows without giving Microsoft money.
Yeah. But doesn't Microsoft pay them to show that Surface
for the
everywhere?
Surface? Yeah, but it's like
it
works both ways in different situations.
Yeah. Anyways, Oliver's lair.
So here they are at S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean Argus. And Amanda Waller is giving a
power play moment. Did you love that sort of snarky
stellar
like...
performance as always? I really don't like that actress.
Yeah,
she's an acquired. I'm sorry if I end up burning a bridge somehow with that,
no,
I just
fair.
Don't
the
like
the thing is
her
it's all intentional. Character. She's making intentional choices.
Yeah.
So it's just that we feel certain ways about those intentional choices. So anyways, here's stuff developing on the sub, trying to figure out what it is. Stuck. Oh yeah, they're stuck. And then I like Ollie has the idea. He's turning less into Abercrombie Oliver and more into End of Island.
I'm not sure how much I like this plan.
Yeah, it's a weird plan.
But the torpedoes are generally there to blow up other submarines, so pointing one at yourself is not the best.
Yeah. But they blow up the rock though, don't they?
They do.
What it is.
They do. Right. But you're still getting dangerously close.
Yeah,
right?
It's true.
Movie and TV explosions work very differently from real explosions. In movies and TV, explosions are meant to be like the pyrotechnics, right? But in reality, when a torpedo or a bomb explodes, it's not the explosion. It's not the force of the explosion that's the most dangerous. It's the shrapnel, right? So even if you're blowing up a rock next to the submarine in order to get the submarine free, you're still risking doing a lot of damage to the submarine.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because we are in movie TV world. So it's just going to blow up the rock and it's not going to hurt the submarine.
It's going to be fine.
Unless that's important to the plot in the next episode.
We'll
the submarine's taking on water because of this big gash, because of blowing up
I think
up
it's
a
more
rock.
About what happened to Sarah.
Yeah.
Or whatever that was. But anyways... so we have, hey, this is sort of from the preview of the Ollie in the foreground and then them in the background.
Yeah.
That was a cool shot. But Ollie sort of hiding out in his secondary lair as a sort of getaway, I guess.
You mean the quiver.
The quiver, right? The quiver. And talking about, again, this is the first, he's very mournful in this episode. Rightly so.
Yeah, but his mom just died.
Yeah, I know. Rightly so. But, so talking about, again...
And it was his fault.
Reiterating to us about the curing Slade, could have cured Slade. So we know what the plot is on the island for the next...
Yeah, we have to get to that at some point.
Yeah. So...
I like this new location.
Mm-hmm.
I like that it's a little bit more cozy than the Foundry was. The Foundry was
very big
and spacious, and it felt like there was a lot of unused space.
Yeah.
But with this feels a lot more like a...
Hideout.
I don't know, like a hideout and like a... Because you can see like the tatami mats, which is for them to do like martial arts and stuff.
Cool.
I mean, in Japan, that's just generally your floor. But in a show like this, you can assume that that's for doing some sparring and that sort of thing.
Is this what you're talking about, Felicity's backstory, saying she would have been a cocktail waitress and never gone to college?
Yeah, if I'm remembering correctly, it was her character, Firestorm? I think it's Firestorm is the comic. Man, that's really bugging me. There's too many characters with similar names.
I can Google it.
I'm fairly certain that her character's background is that, like, because she is, like, a computer expert in the comics, which is very much in keeping with what she is on Arrow. But I think she also shares that past of, like, sort of having pulled herself up out of nothing and out of maybe a bad situation in order to become something. Because I think she's, like, the head of a company or something in those comics.
Really?
Yeah. Like a tech company or something like that.
Oh. In Manhattan? I don't know. There's a big things that she's the manager of a software company.
There you go. She's manager of a software company.
Yeah, in Newers and Firestorm. Yeah,
Firestorm. Right. Firestorm. Yeah. Oliver is convinced that we're just fast-forwarding through commercials. Oliver is convinced that this ends with his death.
Yeah.
Which I think he's misinterpreting what Slade has said, because I think that Slade is going to kill someone important to him and then kill Oliver. Like, that's how...
Yeah, I think it's another person. What exactly did he say at the end of when he killed Moira? He's like, one more.
He said one more person has to die. And
did he say person?
Yeah.
He said one more person has to die?
Yeah.
Okay.
You think it's the city?
I think it's the city.
I don't think it's the city.
Really? Okay. I don't know.
Because that's not personal, right? Like, that. Regardless of what Oliver has done over the last...
You have failed the city. Yeah. He has failed the city. He's going to make the Arrow. Oh, I know who it is. Okay, we're back now.
We're back, yeah.
It's going to be the Arrow. I think the last person to get killed is the Arrow. Like, the idea of the Arrow.
I think you're going way too esoteric with it.
I am, because I think Slade is smarter than that. I think it has to be idealistic, because he knows how hard Ollie has worked over the last little bit to become idealistic.
No, because by doing what he's done, he's already destroying the Arrow. It's like look at Oliver in this episode. Slade has already done that. Yeah. Like, he's already killed the Arrow in these moments. It's the conversation with Laurel later in the episode that turns Oliver around, he decides to fight.
Yeah.
But, and I think that is them pointing her towards a Black Canary future.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a person. I think that it's Sarah.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Sarah, because at the heart of it, the reason why Slade is on this vendetta is because Oliver chose Sarah over Shadow, and that's what makes the difference.
Yeah.
Because if Sarah had died on the island and Shadow had lived, none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
Right? Like it would have been very different.
Yeah.
Especially because Sarah's gonna die on the island anyways, right?
Right, so it'll be a useful parallel.
Yeah, well, so fair enough. So I think what we're going to get, I think, is a moment where Sarah on the island is about to die, and in present time is about to die. She's going to die on the island, and she's not going to die.
Maybe she won't die.
It's going to be like a fake out sort of thing.
Or maybe she will actually die. Who knows?
I hope not, because I really like Katie Lotz.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't want to lose her, right? Yeah. So
we talked over the Ollie-Thea scene, but basically just Thea's going away, and Ollie is saying goodbye in a cryptic way. Whereas, whatever, that protecting someone for their own good or whatever. But she's really going to come back to bite him. This is what happened. Learn from Lex Luthor, man. If he had just told him earlier on that he was Superman.
I don't think that Oliver has the box set of the complete Smallville series.
Anyways,
not that you need to watch the whole series. I think you can watch the first 5 seasons and understand that if Clark had just told Lex, everything would have been different.
Yeah. So if you just tell Thea, she won't go turn into a villain.
But if Clark had just told Lex, everything would have been different.
Yeah.
So, like, I personally, I'm quite happy with where.
Yeah. Yeah. This, you said, one of the best moments in this episode, where is Peter's line here talking about heroism?
Oliver said this earlier, like a couple scenes ago, about the heroism is dying for something you believe in, whatever he just said.
Yeah.
And
that Ivo had said that to Peter.
Yeah, so that's a very comic book thing to do, is to like to have a callback to something that hasn't happened yet. And it's something that happens on Arrow a lot.
Yeah.
But I like that he was referring to something that somebody had said to him in the past, and then like 5 minutes later we get to see it happen.
It's very cool.
It's one of the awesome conceits of this show that we get to play in those two timelines.
By the way, look at this beautiful view. If you can see this, I'm pretty sure this is Granville Island. Looking, anyways, but this is what it's like in Vancouver right now. It's so gorgeous out here. It's amazing.
This is what it was like in Vancouver about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and it's still nice.
But it's even better now.
Yeah.
Because now not only is it beautiful like that, but it's also warm.
Yeah. Which is
so cool. Oliver's like, he's
thinking he's
resolved and ready to die, and he's not going to let anybody else get hurt. And then he gets thwipped with one of his own knockout arrows.
Yeah.
And wakes up in the foundry. In the Arrow Cave.
This is a good reveal.
I liked it. I really liked it because it was, and then this
Laurel
twist of Laurel.
I thought they were going to slow burn this, and I said it while I was watching it, that I thought Laurel was going to know for at least a season.
Yeah.
But again, I just go by like old tropes from things that have obviously.
Fast forwarding through this awesome Godzilla trailer.
Yeah.
There's a new Godzilla trailer, the Asian Godzilla trailer. Like, the one for the Asian markets or whatever that they just released. It is incredible. Like, the trailer is unbelievable.
Nice.
That movie's going to be so good.
Yay. Exciting.
Not the campy, hokey Godzilla of
you know what? I
most
love,
people's pop culture.
I love Matthew Broderick.
Okay, so. I'm talking about, like, old school Godzilla. But, yes, I mean, that is also a campy, hokey movie. But for unintentional reasons.
Yeah. But you're talking about, okay. Well.
We're back to the episode now.
Yeah.
But this new Godzilla looks really good.
Yeah. So she answers the question he didn't ask, right? Slade Wilson told her. I like this because the thing is, she knew that Slade was trying to hurt Ollie by telling her.
Yeah, she figured
it out. And she is the wild card that he did not account for, I think. And that's the interesting thing, right? He didn't pay attention to her. And I think that that's what they've been doing to us this whole season, is that we have not paid attention to Laurel and understood her importance
in
life.
Well, I think based on previous scenarios this season, Slade was watching and going, oh, well, that's the way she acts towards the vigilante. If I tell her that it's Oliver, that's going to destroy any relationship they have.
Yeah.
But instead, what it does is it shows Laurel. Because at first, she is like, she is like, what?
Yeah.
You know who I think the wild card was? It was Detective Lance. Because Detective Lance is the one who said to her, it doesn't matter. Like, it used to drive me insane. And then I realized it doesn't matter who he is because the city needs him.
Yeah.
And it was at that point that Laurel went, wait a second, I'm looking at this completely wrong. Look at what Oliver has given up in order to save the city. He is the person that I thought that he was.
Yeah.
And he's, like, the reason why he hasn't told me is to protect me, right?
Yeah.
And so, but obviously, as we're about to see, she's not really concerned with anybody protecting her. In fact, she will Lana Lang her way right into danger.
She doesn't even have, like, she's not even Lois Laning her way into danger. She's Lana Laning her way into danger.
Because Lois walks into a situation and is like, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Like Lois would have walked into the mayor's office and been like, I know you're the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, I know. Yeah. And there's nothing you can do about it. And then she would have turned around and two thugs would have been there. And she would have been like, except for these guys. Didn't really think that one through.
Yeah.
Good thing my boyfriend's Superman. because that's classic Lois Lane.
Yeah.
But Lana Lang is danger, tornado, allow me to run headlong into it.
Yeah. And it's, anyways.
I'm hoping that what it does is it sets up for next season. Oliver saying, "Look, if you're gonna follow me,
yeah.
then you're gonna be prepared, and we'll see some training stuff."
Be cool.
Or maybe Sarah training her, because Sarah's not going to die, you guys.
Yeah, okay, sure, good for you. Anyways, I love that it took a while to get right to the end here about Sebastian Blood.
Yeah.
Which was the interesting part. This whole conversation with Laurel and Ollie has been happening. And then she finally goes through. And then Ollie's like, oh, that's important information.
Yeah, it really should have been, it should have been, Slade told me that you are the Arrow. And also, I've discovered that Sebastian Blood is working with Slade.
Yeah.
Now let me give you a pep talk and let's go fight.
Can I just say how many of these shots around of Laurel walking sort of solemnly up to his arrows and then the camera panning through them? That happened at least 3 times in that scene. Maybe twice. Anyways, back to the island here where Peter is now going to sacrifice himself for everybody by manually steering the torpedo.
The kamikaze torpedo.
Because he's already dying. Yeah. Which is interesting. It's an interesting, useful plot device. Because I was kind of like, no one cares about this fourth character. We can't possibly use him. They'll use the other characters. But I'm like, no, he was a plot device. All right, see, that's all right, fair enough. Use it. But then he became like an interesting plot device, I guess, with his line. So that's cool that he becomes inspirational while being sort of nobody. Right? Which I kind of like, that he becomes someone that inspires Ollie, that it's not about the big things in Ollie's lives. It's not about the big moments. It's about those little ones, right? That stick with him and the things that he remembers, which are really starting to build his character, which I really like. So this idea that he's very self-reflective, he's understanding who he was, and he dislikes who he was.
Yeah.
Right? His little stuck-up Abercrombie boy, he knows who he is, and he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Which is really leading us, because we know where he's going to end up after three more years now that he's gone on the island. We know where he's headed. And we can see that progression really clearly. And I really like that these writers constantly know where they're headed in the building of the characters. So, set to launch this little torpedo. And they sent Sarah off the island, eh? Or off the... Submarine, which is the scariest.
Submarine is the word you're looking for.
Scariest thing. Submarines, they're underwater. They're so scary. It's not completely submerged, right? Yeah, it's
not. It's
just on the top a little bit too.
Yeah, it's run ashore. Right. So.
And now, they are getting knocked out, and it seems to have worked. I was seeing this restaurant. Seems like it's set decked. Like, the entire thing sort of seems as though it was built in a warehouse, which I really like. I think it's just, it's really interesting design. I like it. But it doesn't have the space of maybe a regular restaurant. But it's just a nice little setting, right? It's a nice little setting for this particular scene. I like when they do that. They build the world in Arrow really well. I was about to call it Smallville. I apologize for that.
This is the best part of this whole thing, though, is,
the torturing Clinton.
Yeah. I love Diggle getting on the elevator here. And then just looking at the guy and smiling.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so well played. Because, again, as this show so often does, it really plays with our expectations. Like, because you think, like, oh, they're setting up something fun. Diggle's gonna torture this guy and get the information out of him. We're gonna get to see Diggle be a tough guy, but instead he's like, "Oh, I'm not gonna touch you." and there's Felicity with her surface.
It's just so great. This is amazing. I love this scene. I don't think I've seen anything like this in
this is strong character building at work. Like, it's all just of the stuff that they've done to build up Felicity's character allows her to have this excellent moment. Mm-hmm. And it's so great, because in most other shows, they would have just gone the classic A to B route of, like, get the guy's driver guy or whoever this guy is and just beat the snot out of him and get information. Mm-hmm. But instead, what do? They go A to, like, F, where we didn't even know. That was a unintentional F Felicity.
Yeah.
But they just go right there, and Felicity does this awesome other form of torture.
Yeah, taking his money away.
Persuasion.
It's so interesting. It's just so great and manipulative, which is just so, it's, yeah. It's
unexpected and fun, right?
Which the show does well.
Yeah.
Even in boring episodes, there's still something, I guess, which is cool.
Yeah.
You still get the characters.
I guess it's not that bad.
But we're talking about...
It is still putting me to sleep.
It is.
Because I am yawning.
I know. Sorry, guys. We're almost through. Don't worry. It's, yeah. Anyways. So they're talking about the mayor-orial thing. Oh, I guess he's showing his hand here that he's the era. Oh, yeah. Slade Wilson and Bled's doing an interesting little reaction there. So.
He needs to work on his poker face, that's for sure.
Yeah. And he just straight up goes...
I love that he doesn't deny it.
Yeah,
he's like, yes.
Yeah. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I love that he scoffed, of course, chuckled. That's what it said. Yeah. Scoffs, of course, chuckles. He has such a creepy smile, too.
He was really good casting.
Yeah.
The other three guys that look exactly like him...
We're bad casting.
As other characters on this season. Not the best casting.
Yeah.
Let's say they could have done some things to make those characters differentiate a little
bit. Yeah,
because some of those choices are great casting.
Mm-hmm.
The DA guy...
It was so similar. It was hard. It's
way
hard
too close.
Yeah.
And his relationship
with Laurel.
With Laurel was way too similar. Yeah. It was really confusing.
But so do we think that Blood has these genuine intentions here? This idea that he just genuinely does want to change the city? I guess he does want to break it. It's sort of similar to Malcolm. This is similar, right? The idea that they just have a better vision for
they're dictators, right? Like, that's the thing. It's like, I do think his intentions are honest and true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they're benevolent in the least. I think that he intends on being a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
And if the city won't be safe,
then
it'll be safe on his terms, right?
Yeah.
So
I like this idea that he says, "What, are you going to stab the mayor?" I think that's a really interesting moment. So
yeah. In the middle of a restaurant. I don't know. I was kind of expecting something to happen. I was expecting him to just flick a toothpick in his throat or something. That would be a very bullseye thing to do. Bullseyes from Marvel. So that's in the Daredevil movie. We're just fast forwarding through commercials. Bullseye straightens out a paperclip.
Oh,
and,
right. Yes, I do.
And flicks
it,
and it goes into a person's throat and kills them. He also does it at one point to a fly, I think. And maybe that's just in the director's cut.
Interesting.
Man,
you watched the director's cut of Daredevil?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Daredevil's not that bad.
Okay.
It's an okay movie. Cool. It's not as good as later Marvel movies, but obviously.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It is
what it is. See, we clearly have much to talk about in
random
this
thing, Josh Hartnett showed up on my newsfeed, he hasn't been in anything for so long. Apparently he keeps getting offered superhero things and won't do them. Because he doesn't want to be like, I don't know, I didn't read the article.
What a dummy. What a dummy.
I know, but I'm like, Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett. I'm pausing it. We'll get back to the episode in a second. Josh Hartnett, if you hear this, why are you being a dummy? You think you're better than Chris Evans? You think you're better than Chris...
He's just making different choices in his career.
You think you're better than Robert Downey Jr.?
Well,
okay. Robert Redford is in a superhero movie.
Yeah, but maybe he doesn't want to be as well-known. Isn't that the reason Chris Evans is sort of really apprehensive about all the fame he's been getting is really negative for him?
No, it's not the fame. It's that he wants to do other things with his career, and as long as he's acting in Marvel movies... And that's not going to happen for him. He wants to direct. That's a goal that he has.
Right.
I think what you're going to see with Chris Evans is he's going to take this break. He's going to retire from acting, quote fingers. He's going to direct for a while. I think he's going to be a great director because he's a really intelligent guy. He's very talented.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, he's going to come back to acting.
Okay.
He will, and he'll do both. But I think he just wants to pursue that other aspect, and he knows that as long as he's Captain America, they've got him making a movie every year, right?
Yeah.
Like he
yeah.
It's been back to back since the first Cap. He's been filming these Marvel movies, So I don't blame him. I think it's a fine thing, and they'll kill him at the end of Cap 3, and then Bucky will become Cap. And these aren't spoilers, because that's what happened in the comics like 3 years ago. So, like 4 or 5 years ago now. So, like, if they follow the comics,
that is happened. A thin line. Talking about Game of Thrones spoilers for this week. Did you think how hilarious that was? That apparently the books have been ruined for some people because of the show, which I think is hilarious.
That's funny. Anyway. But that's different, because Game of Thrones is a straight up an adaptation of the books.
Yeah.
Whereas the Marvel movies are loosely based on the comics. True. Anyways, back to Arrow. Oh.
Man, we can tell this has never happened before. That it's just so boring that we like paused it in the middle of it. Sorry, I'm being so negative to this week's episode, but it's just because it's not the episodes we're waiting for. We're waiting for the next two. Like this whole scene of Thea walking through the mansion and looking at things and rejecting a call from Walter. Like that's just straight up like a third beat in her character that we just don't need. We already got this in the first two scenes. That she is upset and leaving. Like, we got this already. There's been three scenes with her already. And then her and Roy still on her phone, I guess, and that she just feels abandoned or whatever it is. Right? I just don't know. This was just an extra... There's just a lot of extras, I guess, in this
scene. I don't know. I liked this scene because I do think this is the last time we're going to see this set.
Okay.
So...
Fair enough. Maybe it was us saying goodbye to the set. That makes sense. Okay. Fair enough. I thought that he was loading lenses into this bag for a bit, and then when he uses the charges, I was like, oh, those are charges that he's using. I don't know, I thought he was doing surveillance.
Nondescript explosive device.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're gearing up to go take out Slade's underground army. Apparently it's underground.
Yeah. And Laurel, I just think that's really stupid. I'm coming too. Like, you're not at all prepared to go do anything right now. I don't know, she just hadn't thought that through very much. I'd like at least go put some runners on. Oh wait, no, she is wearing runners. That was one thing I noticed, that when she came to the in the end, runners. I think she's wearing runners, which was one thing where I was like, good on ya, you, let's put runners on. But I don't think I feel like she wouldn't be wearing them right now because she's wearing a suit. So I feel like perhaps we'll see. I don't know what she's wearing here. I don't think we ever see her shoes while she's in the foundry, but I'll double check. I'm pretty sure in the end that she is wearing runners, and it was my one sort of thing where I was like, well, at least you wear practical footwear to go out and do something stupid. Like, I don't know, because I could just imagine her running down there in heels. But it's a thing.
And she still hasn't put together that Sarah is the... Did she kind of?
Remember they had that three beat where they went from her thinking to showing Sarah to her thinking to showing Sarah to her thinking. So, anyways. Blood getting all...
I guess she doesn't know that her dad knows.
Yes, yeah,
right. Like that's where that threw me off, because earlier in the episode, I remember they had a conversation. It was like, "Have you heard from Sarah?"
Right.
No, just a text message that said that she needed a change.
Right. So, yeah. So they both know, but they don't know the other. They know, but they don't know that the other one knows.
What?
Man, Friends classic reference. Yeah. What? Anyways, these masks are interesting. I don't have anything to say.
Yeah, they're all Deathstroke clones. Yeah, so
that's the thing.
Deathstroke has his own clone troopers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Cool bridge set. Look at that downloadable blueprint or whatever. There's an app for that, I guess. That's a thing we're going to blow up. What is the plan here? We're blowing up these pillars that are going down into the subway, I guess, to bury everybody?
Yeah.
So they're just hoping to bury. And this is the, you know, terminal station. It's actually a train station. I like that they use the actual train station as a train station. And who this this person back, the what's her name, the reporter, which is cool. Anyways, this train attendant, I really like it. Shout out, her name is Vanessa. I work with her. It's really cool. I ran into her on my birthday. We were both at the same like work event and had a conversation about like the arts, and she's a community engagement manager, so she's really interested in arts and stuff. So anyways, it's very cool. See local people doing awesome things.
This guy is clearly a bad guy.
Yeah, being dumped at the...
that shady look was clearly a I am
also that the cop, I think, is a local actor, too, named Ryan. I think I've seen him and stuff. It's cool. They use a lot of Vancouver people. Anyway, so Felicity pondering that she's part of manslaughter, I guess, and him saying they're not men, which is an interesting moral divide, like the idea of what it is they're doing, like what are the actual ramifications of... That was a trick arrow, wasn't it, that he just used?
Yeah, it was like a kind of, not quite the bola arrow, I think it was like a...
Some sort of...
He's used that one before. We've seen him use that a couple of times.
Yeah. And so he's now become Brother Blood, right? Leading the army. So I think it's interesting. It's Blood leading the army. It's not Slade right now.
Yeah.
Right? So keeping his hands out of it as much as he can. Excuse me.
That's what, like, I think... I don't think that the city has anything to do with Slade's...
plan.
Slade's plan. Yeah. I think that this is all part of a distraction.
Yeah.
Right?
And that the actual end goal is probably Sarah, who's not there. Right?
Yeah. So we're just skipping through some commercials again.
Yeah.
So I really think that there's... there's more to it, and there's less to it.
Yeah, and there's probably a reason why Slade is not actually in this episode.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's probably, I don't know, somewhere going to find Sarah. I don't know, who knows, right? And now we're back with this guy strangling Ollie.
And he gets hit over the back.
Of the head with a pole. Look at that. Good job. Whoa, did her jacket just change totally?
No.
Or was it the same?
No, she was wearing the red jacket.
I guess it was just really dark before. Anyways, yeah, see, she's wearing runners. So I'm like, good on ya. It's a
that's pretty
decent footwear. So she did put some thought into what she wore out. Still khakis. Those are just going to get dirty. So dirty. Anyways.
I think that's the least of her worries.
Yeah,
at the moment.
Yeah.
And then okay. I thought Diggle was going to get attacked by another one of the clones.
But
no, this is for those who don't know, Ravager.
Yeah.
That's who Isabel Rochev has become. Which is interesting because Ravager in the comics... is Slade's daughter.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And cool. And actually, mm-hmm. she has been a hero at times.
Oh,
so she's been a part of the Teen Titans. So so interesting that they're making Isabel Rochev into Ravager. And I'm not a huge fan of the mask that they gave her. It's a little weird looking.
Yeah.
But I do like what they've done with the character. I do like that's
cool...
the direction that they've taken her.
And
I think it would have been cooler if they would have given her like a domino mask that like one half was black and one half was orange.
Yeah,
cool. That just because, I don't know.
It's
like,
really obvious it's her anyways.
Yeah.
So it really like covers.
Yeah, and I just, it doesn't quite work. It doesn't work the way that it does in the comics.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, but so the whole army's now revealed itself. So what? We had Diggle attacked by Ravager. We had Detective Lance attacked. I thought he was going to get killed. Thank God he did not. But the, IT guy got killed. And then we had Thea at the train station also being attacked. And Ollie just shooting down the ceiling, basically, saying that they weren't going to fight. And then it's cut back to the boat. I think we end on the boat, don't we? This week.
Because I think that we end on the walkie-talkie of Sarah.
Yeah.
Everything
coming to a head with both of these. I feel very lost. When they're on the island, I just get this lost vibe. It's totally, to me, going like...
It is similar. Exactly. There are a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, no,
it doesn't.
It ends on the marching in front of Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
That was totally... It says Rogers Arena in the background. You totally see that.
See the Whitecaps banners.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
That's awesome.
The Starling City Whitecaps.
Yes, yeah. It's good.
The Starling City Arrowheads.
It is a square, a diamond, whatever. Right?
Yeah, so that's it. We're going to do something a little bit different here. Because we're heading into the season finale, and in this clip, there are some spoilers.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it right now. So if you don't want to hear the spoilers, and you do want to hear our whatever at the end of the episode, us telling you where you can find all of our stuff, just skip ahead about 5 minutes, and we'll probably be done talking about anything that's really spoilery, okay?
Yeah.
So 3, 2, 1, if you're still listening... We're going to talk about this,
next week,
spoiled because you want to be spoiled.
Yeah.
So next week...
It's
there's
not spoiled,
some...
it's just the...
No, it's the promo, so I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of this. But the big thing in this is the reveal that John Barrowman's back next week.
Yeah, which a lot of people knew. And did you see Laurel? Was that Laurel with the arrow?
Firing the arrow.
Some interesting stuff. And Thea getting captured at the... Or somebody, right?
Yeah,
in
danger. So... Our speculation is that Merlin is going to come back, rescue Thea, because Oliver has no idea that's going on.
Yeah.
He's got his hands way full.
Yeah,
so
with way other
so stuff. Nobody else is going to be around to do that. I don't think Roy's going to have anything to do with it in next episode. I think there's a possibility that he'll come back in the last episode after after Cure. We totally talked over
Felicity. Oh, yeah, we talked about Felicity answering the phone. Right, because she doesn't get attacked. She gets a phone call, and she says, what's his face? She says, I don't have time to talk to you. But we never hear who's on the other end of that line, nor what the conversation is about.
She thinks it's Cisco.
Yeah.
She says,
I don't have time to talk, Cisco. Yeah, but it says Star Labs. It doesn't say who's calling her. So we think, or specifically Mike, you were talking about.
I do think that it's either Barry is actually calling, or somebody is like updating her on Barry's steps. Mm-hmm. Like something has happened with Barry in the last couple of hours.
Yeah.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
Because I think what's going to happen, like the Central City's not close. It's a little ways away.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to get is the Mirakuru is ready. The cure is ready. Mm-hmm. But how are we going to get it from Central City to Starling City in a flash? Yeah. Right? Like, and there will be like some joke about it.
Yeah. And the thing is, they don't even have to show him to like imply that he brought it or something. I don't know.
I do think that we're going to get him possibly in costume showing up at the last second.
It would just be cool, even if he's not fully involved in the battle, but to show something, because you were right, when we're talking about the Flash, it doesn't make sense for, in September, the pilot episode to be him waking up from a coma?
It makes so much more sense for them to start with, like, a voiceover or something of Grant Gustin being like, well, this summer's been interesting, and then like talking about how now he has superpowers, save Starling City, and now I'm the resident superhero back home, and talking about everything and giving us the setup for the show, rather than like him starting in a coma.
Yeah,
like, hey guys, you want to watch a real exciting show about a guy asleep?
Anyways, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But very exciting trailer for next week. I don't think that was the trailer for the next two episodes. I think it was just next week. So it looks like we are now ready for Boom Boom Boom. Tons of stuff happening.
I think the last episode is going to be almost an hour of Oliver fighting Slade. Because it's going to be like Oliver fighting Slade in the present and in the past. Just everything that's going on there. There are some set photos.
He's going to choose to cure Slade, not kill him. That's what it's going to be, because he chooses in the end to kill Slade on the island and cure Slade in present time. Because he keeps talking about how if he had just cured Slade, everything wouldn't have happened. And I think that's going to be the juxtaposition. Remember, we're talking about the idea of Sarah maybe getting killed on the island and then surviving in present day. I mean, anyways, I think that would be cool. That's my new prediction. That would be... It'd be poignant.
If that happens, I will tell you what will happen in the beat right after that.
That he'll get killed by somebody else. Sarah's gonna kill him. Yeah. That would probably be, I don't think he's gonna be in season 3. I just think that he is not going to die by Oliver's hand. Yeah. I just don't think that Oliver's gonna kill Slade in the present day.
I don't think Oliver's gonna be the one to do it. I don't, like, I think I may have said last week or the week before. I think Sarah's gonna be the one to kill him. I don't know. Because it feels like they're setting it up so that Sarah will not be in next season.
But that doesn't necessarily mean
she's going to die.
She just might
go back to the League of Assassins, or maybe she'll go off on some sort of a world tour with Misa or something that. Like we don't know what's gonna happen with that character. So. Hopefully she doesn't die.
Yeah. Aww.
I will cry if Sarah is dead.
Aw. Fair enough.
Probably as much as you did about Tommy. Yeah, no one will ever cry that much.
Poor Tommy. I just want him to come back. Anyways, exciting things have ahead.
That's it. That does it for this week.
Let us know what you want to happen for the season finale. We've got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Also, if you don't care, whatever, it's not going to impact you either way if we don't do anything. Yeah. We're going to do what we do anyway.
If you're just going to listen to the podcast.
Then whatever, just keep listening. Thanks for listening. It's pretty cool that you're doing that. But if you are interested in doing something sort of epic for the season finale, because we know we're going to go on our nice long extended hiatus over the spring summer break as well, so we won't see you for a while, but to have a sort of a big sort of quiver party, that's what it would be, hashtag quiver party, maybe. We'll see. I'll figure out what the hashtag... is going to be.
Quiver party is not... No.
Whatever.
But thank you guys for listening. As always, you can find us online, www.quiverpodcast.com. That's our website. Tim posts all sorts of awesome news over there. If you want to stay up to date with everything Arrow-related, that is the best place to do it. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Quiver Podcast, and on Facebook, facebook.com/QuiverPodcast. And from there, you can find the link to the group. It's actually, it's on the right-hand side in those little, like, tabby button things. There's one that says Quiver Podcast Group.
Cool.
So you can follow that link to the group right there. But people seem to be finding the group all over the place. You know what? If you're on the group and you haven't liked the page, go like the page.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a mix there.
Of people
liking the page
and
that aren't on the group
and
vice versa.
And the group
so.
Is becoming more just sort of a forum, which is kind of interesting. And people having conversations. So it's exciting. And then you can follow us also personally on Twitter. I'm at @akonkin, A-K-O-N-K-I-N.
And I'm at @arkwulf, A-R-K-W-U-L-F. If you want to hear a lot about Star Wars in the next couple of weeks, then you can follow me. Because that's what's dominating things right now. But that's it. That does it for us this week. So thank you guys for listening. And we will see you next week.
And may the 4th be with you, too.
Yes,
right?
May the 4th be with you this Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh! Yeah.
And you didn't talk. Yeah, you should talk about that.
So just a little bit on the end here. My new webcomic, Kenobi and Me, is launching on May the 4th. I almost forgot to add that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So you can find that at kenobiandme.com. And just like Quiver, just like Frontlines, just like Rebels, just everybody should understand my pattern now when I set these things up. Because I do it all at once. So it's at Kenobi and Me on Twitter. It's facebook.com/KenobiandMe. Is there anything else? No, I haven't made the Tumblr yet, but there probably will be a Tumblr.
And it's your web art, right? Because you do art and...
It's a journal comic of sorts. So it's basically me doing everyday things in my life. But my best friend Obi-Wan Kenobi is with me. So... there's one about us eating chicken wings. There's one about us going to Disneyland. There's one about me getting a haircut. And it's
sounds thrilling.
It's but that's the thing. It's not crazy ridiculous stuff.
Just
it's
cool.
Just
Kenobi and Me.
Yeah. So exactly. So check that out if you're a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
Or if you just if you just like me,
you can
do me the favor of checking that out. And liking us on Facebook and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that does it for us this week. Thank you guys for listening.
Stay sharp, Arrowheads. Ever thought that they were the same in any way.
You know what? A lot of people say a lot of things on the internet in general. So I was thinking this morning, about like collective unconscious and how that was... The collective unconscious used to be philosophical.
Yeah.
But the internet makes it real. Social media in particular, Twitter is the collective unconscious. What do you think trending is? Right? Like, it's just all of our verbal diarrhea written out and posted on the internet with hashtags. And then Twitter aggregates those hashtags and tells you what everybody on the planet thinks.
Yeah.
Right? So yesterday, Star Wars, right?
Was everywhere. And you know what's so interesting and scary? So scary how Facebook... curates based on who you are. I have never filled out a survey to tell Facebook what I like.
Yeah.
But my Facebook feed was full of a mixture between, like, feminist musings on the new Star Wars casting and stuff about Star Wars casting. Because it completely curates, like,
how that shows up. But to be fair, there were two conversations going on yesterday. One conversation was, oh my god, the Star Wars casting, awesome, we're all so excited. And then there was, there's only one girl.
Yeah.
Right?
Those were
and
the it's
conversations. Like, and, but I think the biggest thing is that, first of all, there's one more role that needs to be filled, and it is a female role. So, and it's a major role. So, there will be two girls, and then Princess Leia as well. Yeah. Secondly, we don't know who any of these characters are.
Yeah,
we just know that these are the actors that are being named.
Yeah.
Right? And we don't know, third, we don't know who the supporting characters will be. So, undoubtedly, there will be characters like Mon Mothma, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who... I think Mon Mothma is a really great example of a very strong female character. She doesn't show up until Return of the Jedi, but in that movie, like, she's a very strong female character, and her, like, one of the cool things is her gender has nothing to do with it, right? Like, mm-hmm. like Princess Leia, her gender has everything to do with her being in the trilogy. That's why she's there. She's the
She was the trope in the first.
Well,
the first
but movie. Like you get to the third one, she's Deja Thoris, right? Like she's in the gold bikini. We didn't know that until John Carter came out.
Yeah.
We all realized John Carter came first, and that's where that sci-fi trope comes from is from John Carter.
Yeah,
but there are actually in the Star Wars universe these other characters kind of in the background. And in some cases, very integral characters that are female. So I think because like you see that in Return of the Jedi, which is the third of the original movies, and then you see in the prequels, although they are very male dominated. Like I'm not excusing it. I'm just trying to point out that like it's not completely, you know, like it is a problem with the Star Wars movies, and
but the thing is, it's a problem with like everything.
Yeah,
the thing.
Yeah,
and then it's
but just, that's not a good excuse, right?
Yeah,
like just because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, I think because, like, as you go through them, you kind of see that women have become a more prominent part. I mean, Episode One, when they attack the Trade Federation ship, and Episode One's not the best movie, but just as an example. That when they attack, it's a mix of, like, the Naboo starfighter pilots are a mix of men and women, and they're also a mix of different races.
Yeah.
So I think that it's moving in the right direction.
To be able to do.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, right, because that's the thing that I think is really interesting about Geena Davis's, like, organization and her idea of it's not just about whose stories you tell, but also how you tell stories. And that's at least one thing that you can, like, as long as you can integrate, like, the background and the world in which you live.
Yeah, it's like you were saying women, a couple episodes ago,
that they had the female cop. Just like, it's people doing these jobs.
And I think you write yourself into a corner with Star Wars when you introduce in the second of the prequels the clone army.
Yeah.
So there's going to be substantially more guys on screen because guess what? That's how clones work.
Yeah.
But you know, to be honest, clones are an interesting thing because they're almost gender neutral, right? Like,
It's a, it's true.
But they are because they're not. At no point in time are they portrayed as real, like, humans, right? Like, it's kind of, I don't know, the part of their costume is that androgynous Ken doll crotch, right? It's armor, but still, like, I think there's, like,
I just really hope that the world is moving in a direction where, I think the coolest thing about that is that the response was so visceral.
Yeah.
You can't get away with it anymore.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah. You can be the largest movie franchise in the world,
yeah,
and you cannot get away with having one female in your big announcement, right?
But hopefully
they'll have. Yes, hopefully it'll.
No,
yeah,
but hopefully Daisy Ridley, who is the one female that we know of so far, hopefully she's the main character, right? Because
be cool,
in the picture, she's sitting between Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher, and that. Because she's such like a sort of unknown. She's only been in a few things in the UK, like sort of TV guest spot sort of things, like guest starring roles, and she's done theater. So she had her showreel mm-hmm. up on YouTube
yeah.
so that people could just go, like, so
go
that,
see it.
You
know, yeah,
like, yeah, casting there. Agents and stuff could just
yeah.
see it.
Yeah.
So it was up, and if you were on and like, on the ball early in the day yesterday, you got to see it. And thankfully, I got to see it. And I mean, a lot of it's stuff that's already, like, that
people
is out there in
watch,
the world
yeah.
that exists, but... It was aggregated all in one place, and you could see, like, mm-hmm. essentially her entire career so far. She comes off on screen as very reminiscent of Keira Knightley. Like, she's got kind of, she has, like, the same accent, so, like, probably from the same region of the UK. And then just, like, her face is very similar,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because Keira Knightley played one of Padme's handmaidens in episode one.
Interesting.
So
yeah.
that, to me, is the dead ringer that says she's Leia's daughter, whether or not Han and Leia are together. People are like, we don't know that. That's what happened in the books and stuff,
yeah,
but
yeah.
we don't know that's going to... Of course it is.
Like, yeah,
Han
like,
and Leia... They,
that would be the stupidest rewrite in the history
of the
world.
Wouldn't it be the worst thing ever?
Like they're not
nothing
stupid.
Would incense,
like, they know
yeah.
the thing with the extended universe where all
expanded
this stuff
universe.
Expanded, whatever. Expanded
no, it's
universe.
The expanded
I know.
Universe.
Okay, sure. Expanded universe being this thing, everyone's like, oh my god. I'm like, they're not gonna like completely. You have to just take it away, but
yeah.
you can't take away like the residue that it's gonna leave.
Yeah.
And they're not stupid enough to completely try to rewrite that and go like, no, this. Characters more interesting.
Or do something just to do the opposite.
Yeah, like,
right?
they're not...
Yeah,
they're not,
no, they're not going
like,
to.
They're not going to. But we have to have, like, a new essence when we go into
yeah.
it and recognize
yeah.
that it's new and it is a new story.
So
but
I'm
it, yeah.
I'm really hoping that she is the focal point from the Skywalker legacy side of things, right? She won't necessarily be the first character that we see.
Mm-hmm.
She might come in 15 or 20 minutes into the movie, but Luke doesn't show up until about 20 minutes into the movie. So,
right.
in the first one, right? And he's the focal character in the
right.
first three, so...
It'll be interesting. I'm excited to see.
Yeah, so I'm just really holding out hope that
mm-hmm.
that she is the main protagonist and that we can have that on screen.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to do it with anything,
yeah.
do it with Star Wars. Because it's going to make $1 billion anyways. There's
yeah.
no risk, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like them going, oh, yeah, and guess what? It's a cute girl that's a Jedi this time.
Yeah.
It's not like a bunch of guys are going to go like, what? That is not what I signed up for. I'm out.
Yeah.
It'll be the opposite. It'll be like, oh, cool. Like,
that's
better
yeah.
that like
yeah.
like for
yeah.
for your like if I can generalize nerdy guys and I hope I can
you can
because
generalize
I am
yourself
one.
You can
yeah,
generalize
that's what
people
I'm saying.
Exactly like
right,
you, right?
exactly yeah. like I think I can speak for a good contingent of the Star Wars fan base when I say cute girl with a lightsaber that makes the movie a better movie like that just makes it more interesting for two reasons a because if you're a heterosexual guy that makes it a fun movie to watch. And B, it's different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm so sick of Star Wars stories that are about guys with lightsabers running around trying
Being
to show
guys
everybody.
With lightsaber
yeah,
stuff.
Trying to show everybody how awesome they are. It's like, yeah, we get it. You're a Jedi. Good for you. Let's tell a different story, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's tell something else
yeah.
in
yeah.
Star Wars. Like,
yeah.
the expanded universe is so big and it's gone on for so long and there's so much of it,
mm-hmm.
but so much of it is the exact same
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
So I'm just really hoping that it's gonna, like, this is what I say on Frontlines and on Rebels podcast all the time when people say, oh, what do you want to see in X? What
mm-hmm.
do you want to see in Clone Wars and Rebels
mm-hmm.
and whatever? And what I always say, what I always go back to is, I want to see something new. I want to see something that's surprising, that's different, that I'm not expecting. Because Star Wars has been around for so long now. It's been around for longer than we've been on this planet.
Yeah.
It's just part of the culture that it's boring. It
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
like I love it. I love it with every fiber of my being. I podcasted last night
You're
until
wearing
my
Star
head
Wars
hurt.
Shirt right now.
I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt today because,
yeah.
right? Like, I made that choice this morning.
Yeah.
Eminem sends me free Star Wars stuff because I care about Star Wars that much.
Yeah, yeah.
That they're like, send it to him because he's going to tell everybody about it.
Free Star Wars.
You know, like, it, but at the same time, I will watch those movies over and over and over, but they don't hold my full attention anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it is very much you put them on and you do something else.
Yeah,
right? So
something new would be good.
It would be really nice if it was fresh and exciting again.
Yeah.
Because that's what the prequels promised, and then the prequels felt... I mean, they were definitely different from the original trilogy, but they weren't different from the expanded universe, right? Like, they were very similar. It was a bunch of guys running around with lightsabers. Because previous to that, we had a bunch of books about... the new Jedi Order, about Luke's Jedi. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are differences in mentalities and there's nuance and stuff like that. And it's all very interesting stuff, especially when you compare what George Lucas thinks the Jedi Order are supposed to be versus what this myriad of authors built a new Jedi Order to be, especially because they didn't have that first thing for reference. At the end of the day, it's a bunch of dudes primarily running around with lightsabers. And the only reason there are ever women is... I mean, it's not the only reason, but what ends up happening inevitably is every female Jedi hooks up with a with one of your male Jedi characters. Mm. And that just... It's... You have the whole galaxy of characters and aliens and places to go, and they just keep retreading Tatooine, dudes, Millennium Falcon, lightsabers, right? Like, and it's because they're touchstones.
Yeah.
And so you kind of, you have to go back to those every once in a while, but it would be really cool if you could tell some other stories, because you have the opportunity to do it, right? Yeah. And to be progressive, to be incredibly progressive, because it's science fiction, and that's, even if it's sci-fi fantasy... space opera, it should still take those things of like what we can be and push them forward. So I don't know, there's a Star Wars section to go on an episode of Quiver for people who listen to
I'm surprised we haven't really done that many Star Wars sections on
Quiver. It's just because I do it, like,
talk about it all the time.
Like, it's not, I don't feel like I need an outlet. But
it's very poignant right now.
But yeah, it's
also with May the 4th. This will be sort of released on the.
Oh yeah. This will totally. Yeah, this will be the day before. So
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm just excited for more Star Wars, and I'm ecstatic that Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill are going to be involved.
Like, yeah.
It wouldn't make sense for them not to be, but. Yeah, having them.
It's a big deal that it's, like, official. Like, that's, like, a cool thing.
And I do think that Frank Oz will be back to do the voice of Yoda. I think that's something that they'll wait and they'll let us know later. Because they don't want to shoot every arrow in their quiver all in one day, right? So there will be supporting cast members. We got the main cast. We got the characters who will be, like, the bad guys and our good guys and our returning heroes. Mm-hmm. But we're also going to get... We're going to get at least Yoda, because that's easy to do. Because he's CG and you just... Frank Oz does the voice and you go...
Is Frank Oz still alive?
Yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah, he's definitely still alive. And you don't have to worry about it. Obi-Wan's a different thing, because Alec Guinness obviously isn't alive. If he was, he would look very different from the Force Ghost that he looked like in those three movies. But Ewan McGregor kind of owns that role now, and is incredible as Obi-Wan. Yeah. And with a little bit of makeup and
they could age him enough.
Yeah, like, I think that they can do it.
Oh, he's only 1944. I didn't realize how I guess because I associate Frank Oz with Jim Henson, so I just...
Yeah. Sorry. But I think that because people love Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan so much, that we'll be okay with it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we'll allow it. If you somehow get it where as a Force ghost, he looks close enough. Like, if it's 15% off, we'll make up the other 15% because
didn't they replace Alex Guinness anyways?
No, they replaced Sebastian Shaw with Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
So, and that's the other part of it, right? Is that I guess more so than Yoda, Hayden Christensen will be back. He will. Like, I guarantee he will be back in some capacity at some point over the course of these next three movies. He will show up as a Force ghost because that, like, he's there. He can do it. He just grows his hair out or they put a wig on
him. The thing is, do you feel like Hayden Christensen wants to come back and reprise that role?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I don't think... It doesn't matter. I think for two reasons he would do it. Because, A, you're Anakin Skywalker. You're Darth Vader. Like, you own that role for the rest of your life. And people can hate on it all they want, but you are Anakin Skywalker, right? Mm-hmm. He deserves to get to do it again, and be under J.J. Abrams, who is definitely much more of an actor's director, because he gets some great performances from people. I mean, Star Trek aside, because, I mean, there are great performances in Star Trek, but that's where everybody's going to go, because it's the obvious comparison. But Mission Impossible 3, Philip Seymour Hoffman probably doesn't need a great director, but Philip Seymour Hoffman was incredible in Mission Impossible 3. Mission Impossible 4? No, I guess that's 3. Yeah, that's 3 that he's in. Because after Mission Impossible 2 and how terrible that was, nobody wanted to go see Mission Impossible 3. Like, when Tom Cruise was like, we're making another one, people were like, good for you, Tom Cruise. Because there's also the Scientology, crazy Tom Cruise backlash going on. So, the thing that got people in the theaters for that movie were the trailers with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Because he had, like, a crazy awesome villain performance in that.
I totally did not know J.J. Abrams directed a Mission Impossible movie.
There you go. It was his first movie.
Oh, okay.
That was the first movie
he ever directed. I was close to TV.
He's a showrunner
with him,
right?
Yeah. And his story, I guess.
But I think there's a good opportunity for Hayden Christensen to come back and to give a great performance, because he is a very talented actor. He has done other things, and people discount him and write him off entirely because of the prequels, which is totally unfair. Because
I loved him in Higher Ground.
George Lucas is a bad director of actors. He lucked out on the original trilogy because he got Harrison Ford and Alec Guinness and a few other, like, Peter Cushing and these other actors that mentored the other...
It was much more visceral back then, right? Because the actors had to do things. So it's easier to direct actors when they have to do stuff, right? Than it is when you're like...
George Lucas pioneered the whole, like, there's 5% of a set and the rest of it's CG, right? Yeah. Nobody else could have done that in 1998.
Yeah, right? Oh, wow.
We're talking about 4 years after Jurassic Park, okay? He was filming Episode 1, and then it came out in 99, and I think people discount that because the prequels have gone from 99 to 2005, right? So, like, they span that time period, and so people go, they kind of put them all together as one thing and go, well, the last one came out in 2005. So I think it's unfair that people look at what he was doing over the course of those three movies. And James Cameron visited the set and then went away and went, oh, I guess it's time for me to make that Avatar movie that I've been developing for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Right? Which, I mean, you want to talk about a movie that doesn't hold up. Like, I'm sorry, but Episode 3 is a much better movie than Avatar. Avatar has some amazing stuff in it. And
the plot is so basic, which he got away by boring. Doing flashy stuff. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really...
We've talked about Avatar before, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like... But people are going to go to that. People are going to go to the Lord of the Rings movies. Because Andy Serkis being involved in the new one.
That's a
crazy news. Yeah. So awesome. Yeah. So great, because it lends such credibility to it. The best part of that casting, as the fan that I am, who's been sitting here trying to justify the prequels to everybody, is that he lends credibility and shuts the fanboys down. Because all of those fanboys are like, Yoda looks totally fake. He looks totally CG. Gollum is way more convincing. Well, guess what? Now Gollum is in Star Wars. Yeah. So you can't be like, Lord of the Rings is better. It's like, no, they took the Lord of the Rings guy, mm-hmm. and his performance will now be in Star Wars. So whatever CG character he is, it's going to be, like, you won't be able to argue with it, right? Yeah. Like, it's that's my favorite part of that, is that it just kind of shuts everybody up. But Gollum, you know, wouldn't exist without Jar Jar Binks.
And you know what I absolutely love? That this movie, I'm going to use the word cacophony again. I keep wanting to use this. But, like, it's such... It's, like, of science fiction. You've got J.J. Abrams, who has made, at least in the last little while, a name for himself doing all sorts of sci-fi stuff, right? Like, when you think of sort of sci-fi, especially in television, and then with Star Trek. And then you bring in sort of this Lord of the Rings, like, again, everybody knows him, as like, in from Lord of the Rings. I think that that's such a cool thing to then bring into Star Wars, which sort of was more... I don't know, it's just really exciting.
And I mean, like, the whole cast, this is the thing, is that the whole cast, there's not a single one of them, there's no Jake Lloyd in this cast, and that's one, I've been waiting to say that to somebody, because, like, it's my favorite, one of my favorite parts of this cast, is that you've got just this whole group of really great actors, a couple of relative unknowns, but when you see what they've done, you see that, I mean, Daisy Ridley being the most unknown of all of them, based on her real, I say, like, nothing wrong with her acting, right? She'll, and it'll only be elevated, like, right? by being with the rest of that cast.
Yeah.
But everybody in the cast is great, and some of them are, like, exemplary. Like, some of them are some really great actors. Oscar Isaac is I haven't seen Inside Llewellyn Davis yet, but all of the reviews, all of the conversation that I've heard about it is that, like, he's awesome. He's excellent. And you don't get to be in a Coen Brothers movie without being awesome. And you definitely don't get to be the lead in a Coen Brothers movie without being exceptional, right? So, like, there's a lot of reasons to be very excited about how this is developing. That said, it could all fall completely flat and not live up to expectation, just like the prequels, but...
Who knows?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be really good. I think when you look at Star Trek, the first one, not the second one...
Well, I like the second one.
The second one has some good performances in it, but the plot is just... stupid. It's just bad, right? Like, it only services bringing Khan into it, and they didn't earn Khan whatsoever, right? Like, it, no, I think we've talked about this already. So, like, he just jumped the gun on it. Like, it didn't need to be Khan. It should have been something else. It shouldn't have been anything calling back to previous movies. It could have been something about other Star Trek episodes, and that probably would have been cool if they go like, well, in the timeline, if you place it here, this would have happened. Now the timeline's different. How does this situation play out differently? And let's throw some curveballs, let's make it interesting. Or blow our minds and do something completely new, right? Like, you have this completely separate timeline and all of these great characters, again, do something new with them, right? But anyways, don't spend the first 15 minutes of your movie breaking apart the team that you spent 2 hours in the last one putting together.
Yeah.
Like, just 101. Yeah. Like, it's so silly that he did that, but... Anyways, let's talk about Arrow.